Dear Lord God, we thank you so much for this wonderful morning. It's a beautiful day, and we want to start this day worshiping you, and we just ask that you minister to us and let us hear from your word. Let it be stuff that we can use in the days and years to come. And Father, just speak through me and just send your Holy Spirit to be with us right now and touch each one of us. We just thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen. This message is one that we don't really think about a lot. We're believers, and it's more directed to non-believers, but even for believers, it's a good thing to remember. And the question is, do you want to be a Christian, or are you happy with where you're at? And if a person's 100% with where they're at, 100% good with where they're at, they're content with what they're doing, and everything is okay, and here's the kicker, and they can honestly tell me that, then they don't need to listen. They can just go about their little thing and do whatever. The only question I have is when it gets really quiet and they're really honest with themselves, I wonder if they're still okay with where they're at. And that's where kind of where I'm going this morning. Now, I want to read a verse out of 1 Corinthians. Well, before I go there, when you talk to people about being saved and becoming a Christian, you know, a lot of them don't understand it. It doesn't really make sense to them. And I want to read a couple of scriptures that back that up. And the first one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." So to us, man, this makes perfect sense. Why would somebody not understand that? But when you tell people about being saved, a lot of times they get this blank look on their face, and they're like, "Do what?" And I want to read another scripture. It's also out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, "The person without the Spirit does not accept these things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit." So it tells us right there in chapter 2, verse 14, that without the Holy Spirit, you really can't understand it. I mean, you can sit down and, you know, think through it, and you can read it and all that, but it really doesn't make total sense. And then to make this even a little more harder to believe, let's read a scripture out of Ephesians 2. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." And you're like, I'm supposed to believe all this. You know, first you're telling me it's not going to make sense. I need the Holy Spirit, whoever that is, to understand this. And now you're saying it's a free gift. I don't have to work for it. I don't have to do a thing for it. Well, that is a little hard to believe when you think about it. So I want to just kind of sum it up. I mean, what are we telling people? Well, we're telling people that God created everything. And God even says, all you got to do is look around, and if you truly look at it, you will know there is a creator. So you look around, okay, we got God. Then besides just creating the world and the universe, he also created Adam and Eve. They were in the Garden of Eden. If they would have done what God asked them to do, everything would have been cool. But just like the rest of us, they decided they knew better, and they listened to the devil. And, you know, we've all heard the story, you know. The devil talked Eve into eating from the apple, the tree that they weren't supposed to eat from. She ate from the apple. She talked Adam into eating from it. And because of that, God kicked them out of the Garden of Eden because they weren't supposed to do that. And you're going, well, yeah, but that was, shoot, way back when. Why would that affect me? Well, it affects us because we're all sinners and we're prone to sin. All you got to do is look at a little kid. They know what they're supposed to do. We teach them what they're supposed to do. But they have a tendency to lie to you, or they have a tendency to take things they're not supposed to. I mean, it just automatically happens. Because sin is not necessarily killing somebody. It can be little simple things. So, okay, but why is that a problem? I mean, if God's God, he ought to be able to just overlook that. Well, in Habakkuk it says, "Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing." Wow, that's what it says about God. He cannot tolerate wrongdoing. So, if he can't tolerate it, well, that makes sense why he kicked Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden then. But what do we do now? Well, here's what happens. God sent Jesus, his son, to come to this earth to pay the price for the sins that we commit. And this is the part that's hard for people to understand. But he willingly came here. He was willingly nailed to a cross and died to pay the price for our sins. That's really hard for us to understand, how somebody would be willing to do that. I don't know if I could send my son to go die. You think about that. And then Jesus did that willingly, but he had to do that because God loves us. He wants the best for us. Second thing, there has to be restitution for wrongdoing. No different than here. You know, if somebody kills somebody, they got to pay the price. If somebody does this, they got to pay the price for it. Same thing with our sins. Somebody had to pay the price. Jesus paid the price. By paying that price, that makes it possible for us to be with God, because now God looks at us through what Jesus did. When you mess up, you could say, picture it this way. You know, Jesus is sitting next to God, and God's going, "Oh, he messed up." And Jesus goes, "Yeah, but I got it covered. Messed up over here, I got it covered." Which I'm sure it doesn't go like that, but you could think of it that way. You know, hey, he's our attorney, man. He's sitting there going, "I got it all covered." And God says, "Yes, you do." And that's the part where people, you know, when you tell people that, and then you tell them, "Yeah, and you know, you can get this as a free gift. You don't have to work for this. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do this. This is something that you can have for free. You can get it for free." People look at you like, "Really?" So, where do we go? Well, you know what it says. All the evidence, if you truly look at it, points in the direction that it truly did happen. You've almost got it. It's like, "Man, I really want to believe this, but I'm just not quite there." What's missing? You got to take a step of faith. You just have to say, "Yes, I do believe this." At that instant is when the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside, decides to live inside of you. That's the promise that God made, that if we accept Jesus as our Savior, that the Holy Spirit will come and live inside of us and give us direction and tell us what we need to do. And then it all makes sense. And with that, I'd like to close. Let's pray. Dear Father God, we thank you so much that you make it so easy for us to come to you. Father, you make it easy to become a follower. And we just thank you so much. So Lord, I just ask right now, I mean, all of us sitting here already know you, or everybody within earshot of this message. I don't know how many know you, how many don't. I just ask the ones that don't that you would allow them to take that step of faith where they can become a follower of Jesus, because their life will never be the same, I guarantee that. We just thank you right now, Father. And Lord, the ones that are sitting here that already know this, I ask that we would be gentle and kind when we talk to people about this, because it is hard for them to understand. We just thank you for giving us the right words. So, Father, as we get ready to go racing, I just ask you to protect everyone here. Let them have a wonderful day. It's a beautiful, sunny day. We couldn't have better weather. We thank you for it. And Father, just protect us, watch over us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.